Okay, I want to go on now to an issue that you care deeply about. It's something that you've been working on for some time. You've introduced a bill called the RIDE Act, and this would promote the research and development of advanced alcohol detection technology and require auto manufacturers to implement the technology in new car models. Tell me about this and your thoughts on how to get it passed.
I appreciate that question so very much, Brad. The RIDE Act, that's an acronym for Reduce Impaired Driving for Everyone Act. It has the potential to end drunk driving in the United States and has been estimated to save as many as 10,000 lives per year. According to a report from Safewise, New Mexico ranks fifth in the nation for drunk driving deaths right now. So you can see why this technology matters to families all across New Mexico as well as all across the entire country. And about 29 years ago, Fred, I myself sadly was hit head-on by a drunk driver coming home from a City League basketball tournament that I was playing in, and I was less than half a mile from my house. And as I came around this turn right in front of the local church, it's not far from home, a car came right into me. All I saw was two headlights that met me that night. Mm. And I'm here to tell that story still. There's so many folks that have had loved ones taken from them. And so to all the victims out there, to all the survivors out there, everyone that lost loved ones, we're in this together. And there's no reason that these auto manufacturers cannot be implementing these technological advancements to stop drunk drivers and impaired drivers from killing others. And this would be technology that would be built right into a car. Think about how automobile manufacturers have been required to include and build now seat belts, even backup cameras. You may remember, it wasn't too long ago, we were losing hundreds of kids a year that were getting killed that a backup camera is now preventing those deaths as well. And so this is going along those same lines. This would be technology embedded in vehicles. And there's some vehicles that already have some elements of this technology in them that are on the roads today. Think about that driver assist or the warnings if you're going into the middle lane or onto the shoulder or you come up on a vehicle too fast. There's vehicles now that will slow you down if not stop you, and that will shake the car a little bit and will rattle you if you're going in and out of your lane too much.
You know, I think anyone hearing this would say this is a great idea. It's a tool that people ought to have in a new vehicle. But as you know, it's very hard in Congress to pass a new mandate like this. What do you think it will take to convince those who normally don't vote for mandates to do so in this case?
So, Fred, you've identified one of the impediments and the barriers that have existed for so many years with requiring this technology to be mandated in automobiles. We had a vote this last week in the Commerce Committee in the United States Senate where the RIDE legislation that we just talked about passed without a member voting against its inclusion in the big bill, and it passed overwhelmingly with Democratic and Republican votes. It now sets it up to go to the Senate floor, and we have overwhelming support, including members of the United States Senate that had not historically co-sponsored this bill. We also have members from the Michigan delegation, not just in the U.S. Senate, but in the U.S. House, leading efforts. Now, that says a lot because that's the home to a lot of these auto manufacturers in America. So when you have these incredible stories that have been shared with us from families who had loved ones taken from them, survivors of drunk driving crashes. You have the leadership of Mothers Against Drunk Driving and all of the boards and advocates, not just from New Mexico, but across America, where we are all working together. That's how you build momentum to pass a piece of legislation like this. And I am absolutely confident that this bill will be signed into law this Congress by President Joe Biden.
Wow. Well, we look forward, if that happens, to talking with you again when it happens. I want to talk about another issue we've discussed before. There was that rare situation this week where there was almost unanimous bipartisan agreement, unanimous in the Senate, not so completely in the House, to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. Give me your thoughts on this and the fact that this is just really, when you think about it, this is really momentous, because a number of years ago, I would venture to say that there are many people listening to this interview right now who weren't aware of Juneteenth and its importance in history, because it was not something widely taught in schools.
Well, Fred, this is an important recognition in the United States of America. And while our founding fathers, we credit them with this very young democracy, this young republic that we call the United States of America, with the notion that the United States was built that every person is treated equally. But one of those flaws and dark sides of American history was that slavery was a part of that. And with President Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, as you know, a Republican president, when he moved forward with ending slavery, and that culminated and followed the end of the Civil War as well, it wasn't until years after that the action was taken by President Lincoln that the Civil War was ending, that still in Galveston, Texas, there was not an embrace of the ending of slavery as required by the United States of America and penciled and signed by Abraham Lincoln. And so President Lincoln sent federal troops to Galveston to say, no, we're going to enforce these rules. And it was on June 19th, 1865, that occurred. And so we talk about recognizing what the United States of America is, and we're so proud of this shining light on the mountaintop, but we also have to recognize some of the bad things that were out there. And slavery definitely is at the top of that list. And June 19th is an important recognition of the United States, not just entering slavery, but reminding us that we are one nation, indivisible, that we are to be one nation where everyone is treated equally as well. And so I just want to thank all of my colleagues, especially those from the Congressional Black Caucus, for leading this initiative, for the recognition and the passage of this legislation in the Senate and in the House this week. And you're already seeing that many of us are recognizing and celebrating Juneteenth as a national holiday, which will be recognized tomorrow, but June 19th this year and every year going forward.
Okay. Finally, Senator, does this give you any more hope that there might be a bipartisan agreement on the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act?
So my friend and colleague, Karen Bass, who is a congresswoman out of the state of California, she's the former speaker of the California State Assembly. She's working closely with Senator Cory Booker and United States Senator Tim Scott to try to find a way to come together on that legislation. And they've been reporting that they're making progress. Those are three good people that are in the room, Fred, and I trust them to be able to come up with a bipartisan solution. America demands it, and we need to get this across the finish line. That's why I supported that legislation when I was in the House, and why I support the legislation that we will be working towards now in the United States Senate as well. This is going to be important, and I'm always optimistic.
Okay.
These show where we can work together and how we can work together.
All right. Senator Ben Ray Lujan, thank you so much for being with us.
Always an honor, sir. You give my best to the whole team down there at KRWG and down at 90.7 in Las Cruces, and everyone that's listening in. Just always appreciate getting a chance to